In our gospel today, specifically in Matthew chapter 25, 31 to 46, we hear Jesus telling us of a definitive justice. The good will be rewarded, the evil things done will be punished. There will be separation between the goat and the sheep. Many of us don't want to hear about judgment, but it is a reality in life. Even when we're young, there is always that accounting, reckoning. Last Sunday, we heard about the talents, the parable of the talents, that God has given us talents. It's not a matter of how many talents we have. It's a matter of how we use them. And how we use them will be the accounting that God will ask of us. When we were young, when we go to school, teachers will teach us and give us information that we will process. But at the end of the semester, there will be an exam. Parents who bring their kids to music class, sports, or whatever, you expect your kids at least to do good in those things. And sometimes you make judgments. That is a reality of life. Well, Jesus is telling us and warning for all, for those who do evil, evil things will not go unpunished. But consolation and an assurance that goodness always pays. Goodness always pays. First point. You see, God is everywhere. God sees everything. First reading, and even part of the gospel describes God as a shepherd. In the Old Testament, the shepherd is the most important work. In fact, it is the primordial work. Shepherding and farming. But not only that, the model of leadership is always attached to a shepherd. The Hebrew roeh, which comes from the Hebrew word ra'ah, which is to shepherd, to pasture, to take care, is leadership. A kind of leadership that the Old Testament wants from those who are in place. The prophets, the priests, and also their king. Their king. That is why Ezekiel chapter 34, that whole chapter is dedicated to describing the kind of shepherd that God wants. A good shepherd. A shepherd that will seek those who are lost. A shepherd who will bring back those who have strayed. A shepherd who will bind up those who are injured. Will strengthen the weak. And the powerful he will destroy. But more importantly, a shepherd who will teach them and lead them to justice. That is the kind of shepherding that God wants. Second point, that He is and He alone is King. There is only one King. God is King. And that's one of His, ministries, kingship, prophetic, and priestly ministry. Why kingship? You see, the sooner we learn not to play God, and learn to pray to God, the better for us. The better for us. Those who want to be gods, remember that Judgment Day, it's not about power. It's not about wealth. It's not going to be about stature. It's going to be about good deeds done to the least, the lost, and the last. That will be the accounting. That's where we're going to render to God what we did to the least of our brethren. Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that was his theme. Matthew chapter 25, verse 28. You did it to me. She was constantly bringing that. And that was the theme of the missionaries of charity. What you did to the least, to the last, and to the lost, Jesus says, you did it unto me. Matthew chapter 25, verse 38. What is power in kingship? How do we celebrate power? You see, glory, earthly glory are passing. Worldly power are flitting. They all will go. And as I've said earlier, the sooner we learn to stop playing God and start praying to God, the better for us. Power is meant for three things. When I was ordained, it was made clear for me that I'm given power. But what kind of power? The power to govern. The triple power of the priestly power. And this is not only a ministerial priesthood. It is also the priesthood of the baptized. You share that same power. Diakonia, koinonia, and kerygma. The power to serve, to govern, and serve. We're all given that power to serve one another. And that is why our gospel today, to the least of my brethren, the power to proclaim koinonia. In the letter of Paul to the Colossians, is it Colossians? Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. He says, what we see, what we hear, we share. So that you will be with us in fellowship, a true fellowship with the Father and with Christ Jesus. That is koinonia. We have the power to be with one another and to share fellowship with one another as a community, communion. You see, the word koinonia, the Greek word koinonia in the gospel, in the New Testament, was mentioned at least 18 times, 10 times as a community, as a fellowship, 6 times as sharing, and 2 times as service, as service. Lastly, we're to celebrate with proclamation. We are asked to proclaim, to teach. Teach. You see, St. Paul also had that in mind. We teach you. We admonish you. We want you to learn wisdom. But what kind of wisdom? The wisdom to learn what Christ wants in your life. Brothers and sisters, today's gospel and today's liturgy of the word is simply reminding us that the solemnity of Christ the King reminds us to serve the least, the last, and the lost. And when judgment day comes, we can face God and say, Lord, we have done it. We have done it to you. You were naked, we clothed you. You were imprisoned and ill, we visited you. You were hungry, we gave you food. You were thirsty, and we gave you drink. Sometimes we want to go dramatic in the ways we're doing this. But there are many who are least, last, and lost, even within our families, her families. Sometimes we focus on the persons who have more talents in our families, in our friends. We go to clique groups that have something to share to us. But that's not always the case. Sometimes we are asked to go to those who have limited talents, those who have limited opportunities, those who are in the marginalized of our society, and extend whatever we have. And as I've said, it's not a matter of how much we can give, but how good we use that one gift that we have. And we can say to God, Matthew chapter 25, verse 38, we did it unto you, Lord. Please all stand.